Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to another episode of HTS. Back here with the boys, the most broken man on the planet, Kalen Ponga's cousin.
Yeah, fuck. Feeling Levi. Good though, bro. Feeling good.
Feeling good, feeling rough good. Day. And then we got Coach Jove over there to the right.
I know.
And now we've got a special guest today. He's got a pretty impressive resume. Played for the Cowboys, Broncos, Tigers, won a premiership with the Tigers with the man Benj, Gold Coast Titans, Bronx again, State of Origin, Queensland, Australia, Indigenous All-Star, Scotty Prince. Welcome, brother.
Thanks
for coming, bro.
No worries, all good.
Thanks for coming. All right, boys, we'll just get straight into it. Pit and peak.
Peak, you know, wasn't going to play, but broken with the shoulder and everything, but it's good to be out there with you boys, eh?
Mm.
Couldn't think of anything worse if you fellas got up and I wasn't a part of it. But going into my pit, bro, but a trauma's coming back up after last year's States, because one of our guests that's sitting right here.
Yeah.
Man, that knocked us out in overtime.
Down to three.
Oh, and that heat's a killer, bro. It's killing me. But pit and peak, that's me.
Nice, bro. Joe?
Just a peak today, boys, is actually getting our brothers' 30s teams to States. You know, we're a bit off at the, and a lot of boys had moved on. They've gone the 40s, they've gone to other teams and that.
FIFO workers.
And we managed to scrape a team together, boys, which was really good. Mm. And so us three can get some more content. hopefully some good content.
Some good content.
Yeah, hopefully, bro.
Is that you?
Yeah, bro.
Scotty, got anything for us?
Well, if we're keeping on the, I guess the state titles theme, the peak would be the conditions as far as the field conditions, mate. The fields over here are unbelievable.
Really?
You know, I just love running on them. I don't know what it just feels like you're running on carpet. It's amazing. So I guess just massive raps. Whoever's looking after the fields where we play, first class. And the pit would be not only the flight over, that's terrible, the longest flight.
Yeah.
The last
from Goldie, bro.
From Brisbane, Brisbane or Gold Coast. So
direct.
Yeah, direct, but it's sort of like 4 hours, and then the last hour is just torture. So you just want to go up to the pilot and say, "Can you just put the foot down this next hour?" But at the end of the day, it's all worth the trip anyway. So I love coming over here and experiencing, you know, what you guys have to offer in the West.
You bring the crowds, brother. You bring the crowds. It's good.
Awesome. Moving on to me. Again, you boys already touched on it, us being able to play with each other again. Obviously, we're playing 30s now, so.
A bit older now,
boys have got kids, so we don't often get together as much as what we would like, so that's always a peak. My pit, though, one of my childhood heroes telling me to calm down. What do they say? What's the saying? Don't ever play against your hero or something like that. But yeah, no, you got me. Have you ever told your missus to calm down before?
No, I would never dare to do that. Yeah. Actually, that's why I'm single, bro.
Well, I've told her to calm down before, bro, and she blew up. And then when I got told to calm down, I was like, fuck. Actually, he got me.
But you've been spraying Pong all morning, bro.
Yeah, I had, bro. Yeah, actually.
Mate,
yeah.
I just heard him in the corner on the third. I was like, bro, it's too fucking hot for this shit.
But that's our pit and peak for another week. All right, Scotty, bro.
Yeah.
Let's move on to your story. Tell us about your childhood.
So I grew up in a small mining town, Mount Isa. So, it was, I guess, humble beginnings as far as, you know, three or four bedroom little brick home. Dad was a miner. Mum was just stay-at-home mum, so looked after the boys. Got an older brother. His name's Stephen. Family back home, you know, it was going to school. Dad was a hard worker, so that work ethic was a big part of my life growing up, you know, just willing to work hard. And I guess, yeah, just like every kid, Indigenous kid, just growing up, you know, following the footsteps of, you know, my uncles and, you know, my mentor and my father, you know, just by my side. And yeah, just working hard and trying to get a good education, as much as we, you know, don't really like enjoying school. But yeah, I always tried hard, you know, as far as, you know, just trying to get good grades just so I can hopefully one day just get a decent job that, to pay the bills and so forth. And but in the end of the day, I sort of at the back of my mind, I've always wanted to play rugby league because it is a big part of, not only Indigenous communities, but also you know, our family. So all my uncles played for Mount Isa and up north, for those who know, you know, the Foley Shield up in North Queensland. It was like state of origin for North Queensland players. So as a kid, seeing your uncles going through that and so forth, that was something that I wanted to do, was represent the hometown. But as I got older, that sort of faded away, the Foley Shield, because of shift work and so forth. And but yeah, I just tried everything in terms of sport, like just touch footy, it was basketball, you know, wish I was taller, but pretty rubbish at that. But swimming, not too bad, you know, yep. Just able to swim 50 metres was a mean feat. But yeah, just cricket and anything that sort of, I guess, got me out of the house and got me active. And but yeah, my old man was pretty tough, like saying, you know, make sure you get an education, do all that first, and then we'll worry about sport later. And then at the age of 15, I got an opportunity to go across to Townsville, where the Broncos were doing like a training camp, and it was Wayne, and at that time was Johnny Plath. He was still playing. They called him the Super Sub. And so I went across. I don't know how it all come about, but yeah, moved across to Townsville for a weekend of football. And
remember the school, bro?
The school that I attended was Kalkadoon High, so it was named after the traditional owners back in them days, but now it's, I think it's Spinifex High or Spinifex Junior, Spinifex Senior. So, you know, for the mob will be listening, they'll understand, you know, back in those days. But, see, so at Kalkadoon High, one of the teachers, Mr. Eaton, his name was, he was a hard teacher, manual arts teacher. I didn't even know he knew me, because he wasn't my teacher. So he must have had a connection with the Bronx, or they called him and said, look, send a couple of your young boys to this training camp. So somehow I got the call up. Went across. That's when I met Wayne for the first time. And in that 2-day camp, I must have did something to impress him, because after the camp, he come into the dorms. We were staying at a it was like a RAF base. It was like an army sort of setup. And he said, "Oh, would you be keen on leaving home and then going to a boarding school down in Yeppoon, down near Rockhampton, called St. Brennan's, where they send all their scholarship kids with the Bronx?" And I was pretty excited about that. I knew that I had to leave home to go and, you know, one day chase my dream to play rugby league. But at that time, I went back home. Within a week later, the Cowboys were coming into the competition. So I was way back in 95. Mm. And, yeah, so that's when I got the call up. And then 95, bang, got a chance to go to the Cows and trialled and had to make a decision which sort of avenue to take. And obviously Townsville's closer to home.
Was that what, like, made your decision?
Yeah. So it was Dad's sister that lived there, my auntie. So it was, we had a connection there where I could stay and attend school. And so that's sort of the option I took. And yeah, that's how I guess the journey sort of started from the football aspect. But yeah, so always go home back to Mount Isa. You know, I've still got family up there, and it's always great to, you know, to get back to you know, country and see all the crew. Yeah, so yeah, it's good. Love
nice.
It.
Yeah.
When did the debut, what year did you debut?
I actually got first year out of high school in 1998.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so I debuted with the Cowboys. Tim Sheens was the coach at that particular time. So true. So Tim coached obviously down at the Raiders through the Super League in war. The Cowboys got him up as the head coach in 96, 97. And then in 98 he was, I mean, it sort of changed. It went from, you know, the ARL to the Super League 97, and then in 98 that's when the NRL started. So that's the first year of the NRL. So got the call up coming off the bench against the Raiders at Dairy Farmers in Townsville. And I'll never forget that moment, because I was like probably 65, 70 kilos wet.
Yeah,
fuck.
And then you got these big boys, you know, walking past, like Ben Kennedy. Who else was there? Like Dave Ferner was playing.
He's Laurie, a big man too,
big
eh?
Man. Yeah. Laurie Daly was still playing.
Yeah.
You know, we had Noah Nadruku for our team, Steve Walters. Like, it was like old school players, but back then I was 18, didn't know what I was sort of doing. I was just out there having fun.
That whole Super League, that kind of era, that's when Perth were in the comp, weren't they? And then they
Western
got the
Reds.
That's when the Reds ended up going out.
That's correct. Yeah. So, so Western Reds were, I think, part of the sort of the ARL scenario prior, and then they moved most of those guys to Melbourne. That's Rodney Howe and all them guys went down there. I think Robbie Ross was the fullback, and a lot of them went to Melbourne Storm because they're owned by News Limited. So they wanted to make Melbourne Storm a great team, which now we know they win premierships.
While we're on the topic of the Western Reds, what's your thoughts on getting a team here in Perth. Do you back the idea or are you here?
Yeah. I love the fact that, you know, they call it the NRL, which is National Rugby League. Yeah, exactly. So I think it's really, really important that we expand as far as giving other states an opportunity to be part of it, You know, I get the argument where, you know, some of those clubs on the East Coast have been around for a very, very long time. Mm. And you look at those amalgamations as far as St. George and in Illawarra.
Yep.
So, you know, they had to merge to obviously stay in the comp. And when you're a hard-out Steelers supporter down in Illawarra area, you're like, oh, geez, I really want my team.
Yep.
But you got to understand that for your team to survive, they have to, you know,
yeah,
never merge with another side, so they're actually still the spirit's still there, I guess. Yeah. And same as the West Tigers,
and Magpies,
and they get the staunch Balmain people, like, nah, even to this day, they've been around in West Tigers for like 20 odd years now. You know, you're thinking, geez, we wouldn't say get over it, but you know, you can understand that they're hard out Balmain and they're hard out West supporters, and it takes a while to get used to the fact that some just say, nah, that's my West team, not West Tigers, you know. Yeah. So, but I do think it's some definitely merit in having Western Australia in the comp, whether or not, you know, an East Coast team moves or whatever. But
they're talking about the Bears, the North Sydney.
Yeah, exactly. So there's an opportunity there. And I know it's pretty crowded there in Sydney, and there is a stadium up in, you know, the north coast of Sydney where obviously the Bears, you know, the Central Coast crew are. But, you know, if you're gonna call it the national comp, just –
you've got to make it national.
100%. Good for that's
the
growth, what I think.
Growth of the sport too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Especially for, you know, aspiring rugby league players over here, whether it's men or women, I think it's really important to really, you know, nurture that, you know, that pathway. Well, so that's they can it. Come
There's
through.
No pathways here at the moment.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone has to leave home, you know, go over east, and which can be hard for some kids, you know, they get homesick and,
Exactly.
and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you spent a bit of time at the Cowboys, then you went over to the Broncos. Mm-hmm. Yep. What was the reasoning behind that? Was the Cowboys didn't offer you anything again, or the Broncos just...
No, the Cowboys were still there. It was sort of like, you know, when you're 20, I was only 20 at the time, and I was coming off contract, and, you know, at the time when you're a young fella and you're sort of wanting to reach the potential, not only as an individual, but you want to be playing finals, and that's no disrespect to the Cows, but at the time we'd never had a team that we were going to threaten to play finals footy. So when you're 20 and you've got, you know, the Broncos who obviously won
the
premiership in 2000, and you got guys who are Aussie reps, you know, Queensland representatives, and you got a chance as a young halfback to learn off one of the regarded as one of the greatest coaches in the game, and Wayne Bennett, and play alongside the team that they put together, and Wendell Saylor, and you know Darren Lockyer, you know, Gordon Tellers, Petro. You just the names just rattle off. You're starting to think how they fit him in the salary cap, aren't you?
Steve Rinoff.
He was way before my time, Brad. And then you just go down there and you just, you know, sign a 3-year deal. And you think, oh, you know, this is going to be a really good experience. And I remember the first year I went down there, it was difficult because, you know, you're telling your childhood, you know, childhood sort of players you looked up to what to do, because as a half, that's your job.
Yeah.
And I felt pretty overwhelming with it. And and it sort of, it took time to adjust. So when I was sort of there, and then that's when, a few challenges off field, you know, really hit for me. So, you know, I lost my old man in a car crash when I was 21, sort of the start of that year in 2001, which was pretty hard as a young boy, especially 21, you know, it's gone from being your dad to, you know, your best mate where you can have a beer with him. So that was really hard to overcome. And then sort of got back playing footy in that first year in 2001, and then that's when I had another serious injury, broke my leg, you know, horrific. Yeah, so, you know, you see the what's
in
his
footy,
name?
Bro?
In footy, yeah, just doing a kick, because that's when you could charge down the kicks now. But
oh, was it off a charge down?
Off a charge down, yeah. Jamie Feeney from the Bulldogs. So if you're watching, so like I've still got a titanium rod on my leg now, so. You know, it hasn't affected me. You know, the only thing is if you're in a bit of an accident or whatever, your bone naturally just bend and snap.
Yep.
But if it's when you got a rod in, it'll just sort of shatter the bone. So that's touch wood, nothing happens.
So come semis at touch dance.
What's knee?
My middle leg.
You can't charge down and touch Joe.
But I suppose going through something like that, you know, mentally it would have hurt you. It would have been hard to.
Yeah, it was tough, mate. It was tough. This was like, you know, 21. I was away from home. You know, I had sort of family in and around me, and which was good, and support of the boys were great. Like, you know, the support that was there. Shane Webke in particular, he lost his old man in a farming accident, and he reached out quite a lot through that period. And you know, Gordon Tallis's family, you know, his mum Judy used to make me lunch every day and get dropped off, you know, with his daughters, used to Robin and that, used to drop him around. And yeah, so had really supportive crew around me. But as far as the mental side, like, especially after my leg, so, you know, losing my dad in the start of the year, then the leg. And then back then, there wasn't this mental health thing that you can go and talk to someone. So I didn't know what it was, but I just knew that I was in a bit of a dark place. So, you know, having supportive people around me, someone to talk to, and it certainly got me out of that rut. But
those are the tools, eh, bro?
Oh, for
those
sure.
Those are the tools.
Without a doubt. So, it was pretty dark times. And to come back, work my backside off for 11 months, I couldn't play for 11 months. 3 months of that, I couldn't even weight bear.
Yep.
So I just had to be on crutches for 12 weeks, which was difficult. So, you know, running around playing at the highest level one day and can't even walk the next, that's a bit of pill to swallow. But so I was very happy to get back. Second game back in 2002, broke it again, and that's when I started to really realize, thinking, geez, I might have to start a podcast or something. Thinking I might have to actually find a real job and you know look at doing something that I needed something. But I thought, no, I'll give it one more crack. And yeah, that's just sort of, I think from that point I played like 3 years, didn't miss a game. So I really needed it both physically and mentally.
So you've
same
come in
league, bro, sorry. Same was the same league?
Yeah, same league. Same league? Yeah, 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 yeah. Mm. Same league.
So you've come in fighting for the half position. Was there anyone you had to try and push out, to try and prove yourself, to try and earn that spot, or?
It was just no, because at the time, so Alfie retired. Obviously, he was the only half that area. Benny Walker was sort of like the backup half. He was there as a backup, and then Kevy Walters was the halfback in 2000, and they obviously went on to win it that year. So he retired as well, so I've come in as the half, but Sean Berrigan was sort of pushing there as well. Yeah. There was a few others that were in
big
the mix.
Big shoes to fill as
well.
But,
yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's when I look at the Broncos, like, they're a powerhouse, and it's almost like they were the first team of Queensland. So it's like when you play for the Bronx, it's almost like you're not only playing for Brisbane, but you're playing for Queensland. So that's the way I looked at it, and that certainly had that aura around it. So, you know, I just knew that putting that jersey on, it wasn't the fact that I was wearing it, it was the people before me. I had to aim up and not let them down. Yeah.
Wicked.
A lot of pressure, bro.
Fuck
yeah. Yeah. Broncos, eh?
What makes Wayne Bennett so special?
Well, Wayne has this ability where obviously you're going to have to respect him, and it's what he's done, I guess, in the past with his, you know, credibility as a footy coach. But he has the ability to know exactly, you know, what the player needs and wants to get the best out of them. So he's not the most strategic coach. Like, he's not going to go out there and show you moves that are going to go, oh, these moves are going to work. He just knows how to push your buttons to get the best out of you, whether it's and it's all mind. Like, he's got the ability to remember everyone's name. He'll know your dog's auntie's name from way back. Even when you haven't seen him for 5-10 years, he'll still remember them, which is crazy. But he just wins the player over as far as he builds their trust, and then they'll run through a brick wall for him. That's his strength.
Sounds like he's person first, rugby league player second.
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly right. Yes.
I've only heard the rumours, bro, but why is he so good with Indigenous kids? What does he do different with Indigenous kids that he's able to connect with them a lot better than other coaches?
Yeah, I think I just think that in itself, like, he's got that deep trust. So once you've got that trust, you've got their loyalty, and then once you build that with the player or the person, and understanding that you're there with the ups and downs, and you're not going to be, you know, that person that comes in and out of their lives. So you're the constant, you know, mentor that's there every day, And having that communication with the player, as soon as you got that as a player, they'll do anything for you. So that's his ability. And he's a type of coach that will have a group of men or group of players and then brings them together with one common goal, and that's the win game. So, yeah, it's quite phenomenal. And that's, you know, I think he would be the oldest coach in the comp right now.
Yeah.
And
80
yeah. And still earning the coin, you know, like he'd be on million plus, but like in just flying. Like he just has that ability where he brings a group of men together, they work hard, they'll die for him, and away you go. That's how you win footy games. And he's very, very simple with his approach to game plans, and that's why he has, you know, the one strength also, the fact that he doesn't know everything about the sport, as far as, you know, he knows his strength, but if he's got a weakness, whether it's an attacking coach, well, you're going to be my attacking coach, you run the attack. Defensively, you got all the defensive policies, you do the defensive policies, and then I'll bring it together and I'll just put my spin on it, and away they go. That's him.
Workers.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, so from the Broncos, you went over to the Tigers.
Mm.
It's who I supported, actually, the Tigers.
Oh, the Tigers.
Tigers.
That's where the childhood hero comes in.
That's where the childhood hero. Nah, I have a bench, definitely. What with Tim Sheens at the Cowboys, did that play a part, or what got you there?
Yeah. So it was spending 3 years so at the Broncos, you know, as we spoke about, up and down through injury and so forth, and I was sort of in and out of first grade, and you know, and I just knew I didn't need another year in reserve grade, because if you get caught back there, you're sort of one of those players where, you know, you just sort of fall off the wagon, and I knew I had more to give, and I actually said that to Wayne. I was like, mate, I need you to have trust in me, because I'll do anything. Mm. You got me, you know, as far as a player, and he couldn't give me his word, which I was like, oh, okay. And then the Tigers come in, because Tim Sheens, as you mentioned, he come back into the NRL, so he had like a 3 year layoff from the Cowboys, and then he come into the comp, and he wanted me to be the halfback, and it was off the back of 3 years. I've only played 22 games in 3 years, which is, you know, I had the injury tag, you know, like injury prone player, and I just didn't like it, and I needed a full year in first grade. So he basically called me, bang, yep, I want you to be my halfback. You're going to sign here for 3 years. You know, they offered me more money to do it, and which is understandable, because as we know, it's very expensive to live in Sydney. So I went down, and then that's what he said. Like, we've got some good recruits coming in with Brett Hodgson, you know, Paddy Richards, and Scotty Sattler, and all the rest of it, Shane Elford, and then and also some younger kids coming through the pathway. So through Wes, and also through Balmain, and then you throw Benji in the mix as well. So I was like, yep, sweet. And at that particular time, I personally didn't want to go to Sydney, but I knew to I guess, play first grade and have that, I guess, someone believe in me as a coach as well, as a player. I knew I had to take the chance and go down there and hopefully play some decent footy.
Yep.
So that's how it all come about.
And you did too. I remember the style of play that you, because you didn't have a very big team.
No big pack. Either. That was the style. That was the talking point of the year, right?
Like a fast style.
They're changing the way NRL's played.
Yeah, and it was. I think we were pretty lucky, because as far as the wrestle wasn't in it back in them days. As far as, you know, two or three blokes in, they had the squirrel grab and choke a hold or whatever they're doing in the wrestle. It was actually good, because we didn't have to do that at training. We didn't have to practice it, because no one even knew about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, even before I left, like, it was sort of like a team. You know, the Tigers had a reputation of being half mini thugs, you know, back in the day, because you know, Hopper Wadi was doing his ones. Yeah. It was crazy, and I didn't want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Imagine that, like, he's hitting your temperature at training. So as you said, we went in there, didn't have a big team.
Mm.
The rules at that particular time and the interpretation of the rules, the ruck was fast and actually suited us, because we were very skillful.
Yep.
Like, even Toddy Payton, you know, the head coach of the Cows at the moment, like, he was there, he's a front rower, you know, 110 kilos, he can pass a footy like a halfback. Like, we had to use that skill, and Tim was really good. Like, he's a very strategic coach, and that's the difference between the two. He thought outside the square, and he's always tested us as players. Like, always doing the 3-on-2s and flick passes. Mm. He'd rather see that at training than in a game. Yep. You can try it. And and that's where he just, I thought, for Benji and his pathway, you know, for him to be the player he is or was, it was Tim was so good for him.
Mm.
Yeah.
A lot of good memories with you and Benj.
Mm.
How was that playing with him, bro? Like, obviously us being Kiwi boys, you know, he was definitely someone that, even as a touch player and things like that. So.
Yeah, well, once I made my decision to leave Bronx, it was sort of halfway through the final year of 2003, and that's when Benji was getting his opportunities. He was coming out of dummy half and just
straight out of school as well.
Straight out of school and just whacking. It was like, holy, this kid is a freak, you know. And you hear all the stories about you know, the way he steps and just his control and just his flair. And so I'm just sitting up watching, you know, and thinking, geez, I'm looking forward to playing alongside this fella. And I remember the first day I walked into preseason training when I signed, and straight away we had a connection.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know whether it was through, just like a brotherhood or whatever, but it's certainly an unsort of scripted thing through touch footy. Like, we'd see stuff that our teammates wouldn't see, you know, and we'd just, you know, woo-hoo-hoo, like, yell out, and we just looked, and we just knew it was on. And so playing with Benj, like, absolute freak. And even at training, we'd be doing like a 4-on-3 drill where normally you get two or three plays to break down the defense. And so, mate, he would only take one play. Next one, he'd be three blokes on the ground, just get ankles broken, and you just throw a long ball and just score. And I'm like, far out. Like, you can't even coach that.
Yeah.
They're just absolute natural talent. So to play with him for those 3 years, to see him, you know, develop not only as a player but also as a young man and see him come through, like, you know, the Larry days and so forth, and then understand that his place now. So he's grown into a fine young man. Very happy for him.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of touch footy in your guys' Tigers mould in that year. You guys were doing the double drop unders and Ford's coming which way and every way. Yeah, a lot of late cuts. Bro, Hodgson coming back on the ruck and, you know, just didn't see that back in those days.
Yeah, we certainly played to our strength, you know. That was our strength. We had a mobile pack. We had fast, fit, really athletic backs and like, you know, just our four-prong attack, you know, dummy half, Robbie Farah, you know, on both sides, you know, myself and Benj.
Dean Halitel
was there. He was coming off the bench, and then he started at lock then through the final series in 05. And, and a good follow too, like, champion, you know, Halitel. And, so we just – everything was on sync. We were just out there having fun and playing what we saw. And, as I said, the rules actually suited us. And that's when they changed it. And they were getting the two or three people in the tackle. Wrestle was choking out, and for our small pack, the defensive line was set, and, you know, big packs like, you know, Storm and South were buying big packs. We couldn't handle them.
The Storm started the wrestle.
Oh, bro.
They started the wrestle.
The wrestle at training, there's a reason why I retired. Every time I go home, I have the sore neck. I'm like, what happened? Oh, wrestle session. No. Yeah. And I was gone. I had enough.
Where did you guys finish in the top eight that year? You just won it.
Top eight. We come fourth.
Fourth.
Yep. Yeah. So it's funny that year. It's sort of like 04 got there. Sort of, it was one of those ones. We're just sort of working everyone out. We just missed the semi-finals by a game, by 2 points. We had to beat Newcastle at Newcastle. We ended up losing, so that was our year. We missed out by two. And West Tigers hadn't made the semis at that particular time. And then 2005, we sort of made a commitment, just trained hard. We just ran. We were so bloody fit. And then Tim brought us in as a top 24 squad and said, righto, boys, we're gonna have a commitment to a team goal this year. You know, I'm just letting you know that no West Tigers team has made a semi-finals before, and its statistics show that no team outside the top four has ever won the premiership. So, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, never won it in at that time. And the boys are sort of talking, we're sort of working as a group, you know, a bit of a brainstorm, boom. Righto, what he's come up with, our team goal for this year in 2005 is to make the top four. And everyone's in commitment with this? Yep, sweet. So in that room, everyone had the commitment and that they will make the top four. Outside the room, so people going, as if the West Tigers will make the top four.
Yep.
So that year, no one played Origin. No one played make the Origin teams. I think one player played representative that year, and that was John Scandalis, played for City Country.
Yeah.
So, and we had a team that were just, like, working hard behind the scenes. that dream making the top four was always there, would do extras and so forth. But people outside that thought, well, half silly. They think, as if the West Tigers are going to make the top four. It did hit a hurdle, though. So in round 13, we're coming 13th. Okay, and when they start talking mathematically or statistically, you can still make top four. That's not a good sign. So we just think, oh my god,
if we win this one and this one, exactly.
Then you had to rely on other teams to win and lose and all that sort of jazz. And Tim's like, righto, boys, you could hear the whispers. They come upstairs and we had a meeting. Righto, so this is the team goal we had that at the start of the year. What do you want to do? Yes, we can still do it, but what do you want to do? I don't want anyone half, you know, pulling out now. We're all in it together. Bang, 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 sort of, you know, talking behind. And one of the senior players stood up, Ben Galea, his name was. He stood up and goes, nah, it was top four at the start of the year. We're going to leave it at top four, make the top four for this year. Everyone's like, yep, sweet. And just from that, I don't know what it was. We went on a 9-game winning streak, found ourselves in the top four, bang, and away we went.
Yeah.
Wicked.
So that's how it is. It's crazy how it works. And then, yeah.
Did you win that 1-4? Was it 1-4?
No, it was four verse five. I think 1 and 2. Now, Hanks, what did we do? Yeah, 4-5. We played we played Cowboys, who finished 5th.
Oh, okay.
So I think it was 1v8. Yeah, 2v7, 6v5. No, sorry. How's it work? 3v6, 4v5, like that. Yeah, and that was a different system back then. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Sweet. Yeah, okay. Yeah. They've only changed it pretty much the last maybe 5, 10 years,
eh? Yeah, and then, yeah, so Cowboys, well, I remember the first game we beat them 54-4 or 10.
Smacked them.
Yes, and then we went on the other side of the ladder, and then they had to play, I don't know who they played next, but then they had to play Parramatta. So that year, Parramatta and St. George were the two guns. So the supporters bought all the tickets to the grand finals. They were already there, apparently. So Cowboys pumped Parramatta 27-0. And then we beat St. George 21-10 or something, and then all of a sudden we meet again in the final. So, yeah,
wicked
grand final week.
Yeah,
yeah. what's that like, bro? You do a lot of media and shit like that. Yeah, yeah. What's it like?
So grand final week. You know, talking to a few of the players that have done it in the past, and obviously Sheensy, Tim and Roycey Simmons was our assistant coach. Funny old bugger, played Penrith, one of Penrith's greats, hooker. He's played many of grand final, and he said, the first one I played in, we didn't win. I cried for 3 days, and he didn't even know where he threw his runner-up medal or whatever. And then he goes, I went and made the grand final the next year, and I won it. I didn't come home for 2 weeks. He said, that's the difference between winning and losing, you know.
Mm.
But, yeah, going in for us, for me personally, like the week was it's a big week in terms of media commitments. There's a lot going on. Like, and it's great for the club. It's great for the fans. Yeah. You know, we have open days where, you know, the supporters come in. We had 5,000-6,000 people come and watch you train. Remember, you know, looking back now, in 2004 we had probably no one at training. You can hear the crows in the grandstand. So it's funny what winning creates, people coming and that winning vibe. Yeah. And yeah, we're getting media down at training now, and the supporters, and everyone sort of looking around, oh, shit, this changed in 12 months. It's like, hey, that's what winning does.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so it was just a big week, and I remember I was so bloody nervous because you start thinking about the game. You think, geez, we're going to win one, we're going to lose, and you sort of see yourself playing on, you know, some negative stuff, and it's hard. It's a mental drain. And you got to go to the grand final breakfast, and I couldn't eat because I'm sitting up there. I was that nervous, felt like I was going to get sick, which is weird in itself because you're sitting up on the stage and – you know, all people there standing watching you eat breakfast. It's weird. It's
weird.
So I was just like, I'm not eating. So he sat there, bang, and just like, yep, and they get a photo and what have you. But, and then it comes grand final day. So final's not until 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, and you got all day to wait. You're just sitting at home just stressing, just like, oh, my God. You know, just you want it to speed up, and then – so I was really nervous prior, and it was probably a hard week because it's a long, draining week, but it's really important not to think about the game, you know, all the time. And then, you know, in the dressing shed, it happens pretty quickly, bang, and you're running out. Next minute, you're up the tunnel, and I remember hitting the field thinking, and I just felt like a sense of relief thinking, fuck, now we're here. Let's just get it on. Let's go. Yeah, so I've been waiting for this for so bloody long. Like, and you're thinking back when those times where you're training by yourself because you're, you know, the only – only person injured in a rehab room, and you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And then 4 or 5 years later, and here you are running out in the grand final. And you think it's all worth it.
Yeah,
it's all bloody worth it. Yeah.
Do you remember the game, or was it like kind of like a blur to you?
Well, it hasn't left my DVD for I always sort of look back, and I remember moments because the game's really quick. Like it flashes before your eyes. So if you're not in it, the game can get away from you real quick. I knew that the Cowboys were coming. Like they're a very similar team to us. Like they had, you know, Matty Bowen and JT, and they had so many strike weapons that we just couldn't fall asleep defensively. So we knew that we're in for a game, and they weren't gonna give up another 50-0 or 52-4 sort of game. So we knew they're gonna have another crack at us, and for us, we just had to stick to what we do good, and that's just play up eyes up footy, and you know, play real simple game plans, and I think one of those game plans was also to have Benji on the wing, and that's when the flick try come into play. Mm. So Benji, from end of season into our semis, Tim come up with a change,
yep,
and wanted Paddy Richards to defend in the centres, push Fatawira, I think it was, from centre into the half position, and put Benji on the wing, which I guess, you know, worked out perfectly because he was bringing the ball back, broken field position. And he's got the, you know, wicked step and footwork and speed. So, that time the Cows were kicking in the corner trying to bash Hodjo, myself and Benji. Every time we had the footy, if you look back and watch the game, I can't even remember. Every time I passed a football or kick, I was always on my back. They just always took me out.
Yeah.
A bit like what you guys did today. I was like, oh, they're playing like the Cowboys. So I'm sort of used to that. It was a tactic of theirs, and that's just sort of to get under your skin, or, you know, making you work hard so you just drain your energy. So, so it was sort of like a bit of a tactic. But, yeah, that particular time, you know, Benji sort of half ripped out. I think Hodger got it, ran up, you know, passed it. He got taken out, which takes the defender out of line, which opened up the space for Benji to get through. Did a little, I think he did a goosey on someone down the sideline, and then he does this flick where we see it at training every day.
Yeah.
So I was just surprised. I'm on the other side, like going, oh, I'm cooked here. Mm. I'm looking up, and here he's going. And I looked up, and I could not believe he did it in the grand final.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking, far out.
Coaches were sniping those passes.
it's like the biggest moment, the biggest stage, and he's done this. And I tell you, the highlight should have been Paddy Richard. I don't know how he caught it.
The
ball come out because it's a blind pass. So you're running this one. He's flicked it like that. It's not as if he turned around so you could see the footy.
Yeah.
So he just ran past and flicked it. Paddy's got it. A week before, Rod Jensen does his try-saving tackle. So it's a perfect setup. He's going to do it again. And Paddy puts his big mid out, palms him. And
get off me.
Get off him and just wave. Yeah,
that fend would haunt you too, eh? You got fended off to save a try.
So, one of the greatest grand final moments, and Benji was a part of it. So, awesome.
I'm glad that tactic worked for you, because I didn't like that play because it dropped down into the lower leagues, and fellas like him start running back and go, push in, I'm going to the wing. Where are all these halves going, bro? Yeah. Oh, Benji does it, bro. What you do is you push in, I push
out. Don't worry, I was doing it too. Don't worry about that.
Oh, is this a tactic, is it?
Yeah, it is tactic. That's like all my mates, like I'm really good mates with Brent Tate.
Yeah.
That's why he's wearing the neck brace, because he's done all the tackling for me. So he can't walk, his knees busted, shoulders busted. And he goes, look, see, I'm busted from making all your tackles. Like, I'm sweet now. I'm still playing touch.
You said earlier, who was it, that experienced grand final hit? They experienced a loss, cried for a week.
Yeah.
And then they party for a couple of weeks. So tell us about the win.
The win was, for me,
After
the game. Oh, okay. So, so.
Juicy details.
Like these stories.
No. It was sort of like, it was weird because it was, the two clubs. So we weren't going back to one club and just, you know, like ripping in. It was sort of like going to West and then obviously to Balmain. So, you know, and we had a CEO who sort of didn't want us to drink on the bus and all this sort of jazz, which is fine. You know, I can understand that. But Yeah, so we went to, I'm just trying to think, we went to West Ashfield first,
yeah.
And had to, you know, mingle with the supporters, show the trophy, and so on, had a few drinks there, and then once we were on the bus, we drove to Victoria Road, so they blocked off Victoria Road, which, for those who know Sydney, it's a pretty big road as far as major arterial, road to get anywhere. So we went there. I remember walking up, and all the supporters were on the road itself, and we're up on the stage, and we're tipping champagne all over them, and going back in, they had like all the supporters in and around like this main stage, but we had like this back room with family and friends, and I remember going in and just having a drink, and I just remember sitting on the couch thinking, "Oh my God, I'm just so happy it's over," because yep. I was like cooked, like just mentally, physically drained. And there's a photo that sort of, I've posted many times with Benji just come and sat on me, and he's got the ring on his finger, and we're just drinking, you know, just like, oh, thank God, you know, we finally, and he's 21, for God's sake. I'm thinking, mate, you got plenty of time to win more, you know, for him and the many others. But, you know, I was 25 at the time, and I thought, I was young, but I was also one of the experienced guys in the team. It just goes to show how young our side was. Yeah, so we just remember just ripping in and partying, and then I was tired. I remember walking out of the clubhouse because we stayed, Shane Alford and I stayed at I think it might have been his grandfather's house, which was just around the corner.
Yep.
And I remember walking up Victoria Road, and I could see the sun coming up, and I knew that we had to be on the bus like eight o'clock that morning to go and do the fanfare, you know, down at either Leichhardt and Campbelltown, which is like a long way away from each other. So. For me, I knew I was just tired, and I didn't want to get too drunk because I hate traveling hungover.
Yeah.
So that's how it all, I guess. And then I was lucky enough because I got named in the Aussie team, so I knew I couldn't party for too long.
straight
to camp, and then ripped in. Like, I guess we trained on Friday. Next minute, we're playing that week later. So. I know Robbie and a few of the other boys. I think Benji might have been a part of that crew. They partied for probably. At least a month. and I'm looking at him, and like Robbie put like 5 or 6 kilos on. I think he wore the same undies for like a week. He had to run into Coles and get more undies, and he didn't go home for ages. I remember I got home on Wednesday from Sunday, and he didn't get home for like a month. And he's still wearing the ring. I had to take my, it's funny. But they were young. They were like, 21, 22 at that time, and just flying. Like I still had a family, so I had to, you know, the kids that I had to get home. I had family down from Queensland. So, I behaved. I was a good boy.
A month. Hey, where are you?
Month bender.
Oh, I'm just in Bali.
I hopped on the bus and now I'm in Bali.
Oh, exactly.
You said you were playing for Australia. Who were you coming up against then? Kiwis, was it? Or
yeah. So it was a kangaroo tour. We toured England. It was 6 weeks on the road. So we had our first game. So Joey was there. So Andrew Johns was coming back with his knee.
Yep.
They put him in. He was sort of struggling with it, and so he was playing halves with Lockie, and he got ruled out on tour. So myself, the halves were Darren Lockyer, myself, Craig Gower, and Trent Barrett. They were the halves that travelled that over to England, and 6 weeks and. Yeah, man, it was full on. I remember playing the first game we played, the English team, England, at JJB Stadium in Manchester, and it was bloody, it was cold, it was wet, and unfortunate for Lockie, he hurt his, he did like a high ankle sprain, which we know as now as a syndesmosis.
Mm.
Seems to be a common thing at the moment, but back then it was just he had a crook ankle, so he couldn't play for the rest of for the tour, and Wayne was the coach, and he come up to me, he goes, I'm going to play Gowie and Trent Barrett now for the next 5 weeks, so you can just enjoy the holiday. And I was like, okay. So I just partied for 5 weeks over there.
Yeah, true.
I was trained, but just trained to party. it was crazy. They just said, take it off. Five days. I'll just play these two boys now. And I'm sitting there going, I can still play with them. Like,
he
just wanted Lockie and I to play together, or Gowie and Trent to play together. So. That's how it was, and I remember, you know, if you're not in the Aussie team, you become the emu. So you're the, you know, the Aussies playing that day, and you're the emu for the go for like the six or seven that miss out.
Yeah.
So you just you're obviously training and, you know, playing and supporting whatever the boys need and so forth. And I remember going to one of the games. It was off the back where, you know, we boys go home, obviously rest up for the game the next day, and the rest we just go out for dinner and have a few drinks and so forth. The next morning we're going to the game. It was like an afternoon game, and you don't pack your gear.
Yep.
You just go there, and then Gowie hurts his quad in the warm up, and Wayne's like, "Oh, did you bring your gear? You're up next." And I was like, "No, I didn't bring anything." Like, it's at the hotel.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm shitting myself because I've got like, you know, I'm wearing guards. I wear a shin guard. Yeah, I'm getting strapped, and I didn't have my mouth guard. I was just like freaking out because I was sort of pretty much hungover as well. But I'm thinking, "Oh, there's no way." And he's like, "Check what size Gowie's shoes are." I was like, "I'm not wearing any shoes." Like, I was weird. It was, yeah. So thank God he come in. He's a tough bugger. He goes, "No, I'll be right to play." So he went out and played and got the win. Thank God. Oh, it's full on. Behind the scenes, you don't see it, but yeah, it's a bit going on.
We've had a couple of stories, what's our big man's name? On his All Black debut, Jeremy Thrush.
Oh, yeah.
As well. He didn't think he was going to get on for his debut, and they said he was hungover airs and said, "You're in, boy." And he's like, "Fuck, I thought I was just on the piss all night."
Yeah, it's crazy. The opportunity comes at times when you're not ready. Yeah, least expected, exactly.
Yep. State of Origin.
Mm-hmm.
Special?
Yeah. Always special. I've always, that was one of my dreams, you know, through that period when I was training by myself. I just envisioned wearing that maroon and white, you know, as a kid growing up and back home, you just wanted to play for Queensland. So you put that up there with one of the highlights of my career, wearing the maroon for Queensland, and got the opportunity 04. So it was off the back of, you know, torturous time at the Bronx as far as injuries are concerned. First year at the Tigers, it's a bit of a Stephen Bradbury story. So every halfback in Queensland was falling over, and the only one standing there was myself, so I got the chance to you know, don the maroon jersey, and Mick Hagan was the coach at that time. He couldn't wipe the smile off my face. He goes, "Oh man," he goes, "Why are you always smiling?" I was like, "Well, I'm happy to be here. Like, I'm loving it." And I went out. I played halves with Chris Flannery, that was when game one. Winding clock back, running out for the first time. Origin, you're hearing all the stories. You know, it's fast. The hits are bigger, and so forth. It is absolutely true, and you can't prepare yourself as a player for it.
Yep.
But I remember running out first as the away team at ANZ Stadium, and you're running towards the, I think call them the Blatchy Blues with the blue wig on, and it's just raw. It's like a, you know, the Colosseum, you know, the Gladiator movie. It's like that. So when they run out, the crowd just goes crazy, and then you can hear behind me 30 seconds later, I think Paul Gallen must have ran at the Blues, and the hairs in the back of my neck just stood up. I thought, fuck, here we go. This, you can't hide, like, you're just in there, you're thinking it's on now. And it's full on. The boys are just smashing you, and, you know, they're just giving it to you. But that game we lost 8-7. 9-8, I think. Yeah, when Sean Timmins kicked that wonky field goal through the uprights. He's never kicked a field goal since. This thing, I don't know how it went over, but it went over, and they got up by that game. And I was really fortunate where I scored in my debut for Queensland. And I got player for Queensland that night, so I was really happy as far as my initial, I guess, debut for Queensland. And game two, we won back at home in in Suncorp. For those who haven't been to Suncorp State of Origin, or I recommend it. Yep. It is full on, and probably as a Queenslander, it's great. But as far as the crowd and the rod on you and the noise that they make, you can't even hear your own teammate. You can't even think properly. So it's just all on instinct.
Yeah.
So you're out there and you'll be screaming. You can't hear. You're just playing. You're just playing and playing off each other's vibe. You know, it's crazy. And then went down to game three, and then lost the series. They got the win, and that was my first initial, experience for Origin. But once you get a taste of it, you just want more. And I just bloody wanted to work hard for it, but there's so many good players. So I didn't play again from 04 to 2008. That's when the boys sort of went on their merry way that dynasty. And it was only off the back of an injury. I think Darren Lockyer got injured, and then got the chance to come back. And that's where I think they lost game one. We beat them in game two. I think we I think we beat him like 30-0. I think we broke a few records that day. That's when Billy Slater did the chip over and regather. My claim to fame. I kicked his. I converted that try. So that's that's my part in that try. So we won that and then went down to Sydney. Game three. I felt, you know, as a player, the game is another level, so it's a way above NRL's clubland. And I felt like I was really comfortable, felt like I belong in Origin. I could handle the speed and just the calls and just felt really calm. And then 15 minutes into that third game, I broke my arm, so I got a plate in my arm against, what's his name, Brayton Astor's elbow. Just went bang, fractured, gone. And I remember copping a spray off Brent Tate because he's defending in the centres. He's like, get back on side, screaming at me. And I'm like, I broke my arm. Fucking, you know, trying to run off. And he's half ripping me and I'm going off. And, so they scored down that short side. It's the story with what that night, was I went into the dressing room. The doctor that was there, he said, come in. And I said, mate, it's broken. He goes, yeah, well, let me have a look at it. And he goes, yeah, it is broken. I was like, yes, I told you that. Stick it up like this. So he had to do a back cast. And then at that time he was doing it, I could hear someone pacing behind me. And it was Wally Lewis.
Yeah, right.
I remember turning around going, what's he doing? Like the king's here. Like Queensland's king. And he was just nervous. He goes, are you okay? I was like, I'm gone. Out for the game. Anyway, I went outside, just watching, you know, in the dressing room, watching the boys up on the screen, and I'm trying to take my shoes off, and Wally come over and he goes, oh, I'll take your shoes off for you. And I was like, no, you don't have to do that. Like this is royalty of rugby league.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, I insist, I'll take your shoes off. And I just was like, man, not every day you get this chance. Take my boots off? What the heck? Yeah, but... Yeah, we ended up winning that series, and that was part of that. Pretty much kicked off that dynasty, or in through that dynasty. So, it was Queensland, representing Queensland at Origin I regard as the best football. You know, when you got two teams hating each other, and just the quality, it's 34 best players in the comp playing.
It looks a lot quicker than international, I reckon.
It definitely is. Yeah, and that's not disrespecting the international game, but...
It looks like... So I'm not saying that boys ain't pride in the... There's no pride in the jerseys. It looks like there's really a lot of passion and pride in the history of the Origin compared to the internationals, I think.
As you know, you look at it and you think, the international is New Zealand, England, Australia, a couple of other countries there are pushing, Samoa, you got Tonga now who are flying. So they are, biting at the heels of those three, but certainly Origin's just another beast. It is the jewel and the crown of what rugby league is like in Australia. So to be a part of that, even just to play one is special. So I had a chance to play five. So
awesome, bro.
Awesome. Our recording's almost running out, so we have to rush this one, boys. No, you're right. No, it's good. It's good.
Yeah.
What I'll do is I'll actually jump to the Indigenous All-Stars. Obviously, being an Indigenous person yourself, must be very proud to be able to represent
your culture. Yeah, for sure. So getting the opportunity to represent, my Kalkadu mob, and also the fact that all the mobs around Australia, and it all started with a dream of Preston Campbell, former player that I played with at the Gold Coast Titans, absolute gentleman of the game, would take your shirt off for anybody in need. And it was just a conversation that he had around training, and I'm sure pubs and clubs had the same, where why don't we pick the best Indigenous players playing against the best of the NRL? Let's see what that looks like. Yeah. And that's how it all started. And so Preston's dream become reality. And I was lucky enough to be a part of the first and able to play four. So, to represent the mob and have the chance to play alongside players I would never, ever get the chance. And that's like Nathan Merritt, guys who play for oppositions and also play for different states. So, New South Wales, Corey Ladds and so on. So to get that chance to do that, and also Preston itself as well. Many other players, that we played along. And it was the flair and, just that raw talent on that field. It was unbelievable. Being part of, I guess, the first, we'll put that kick in for Wendell to score the first ever try in the All-Stars.
Is that when he done the...
Yeah, the ditch. Yeah. And I was like, No bastard told me it was on. You know, so I remember running back to halfway and I look back and everyone's just shaking their legs. You know? But it was, yeah, it was fun, mate. It was and to see that grow to what it is now in the Maldives that are in it now, yeah, it's that natural talent of what rugby league is. It's perfect.
Who's the coach of the Maldives?
Oh, your cousin.
Adam Bliff, funny.
Yeah, but most people don't see it. So the game actually is the highlight of the week. Mm. But there's a lot of youth work that happens during the week with culture and you know, not only from each team but also, you know, with the Indigenous All Stars, it's like a real massive culture piece where a lot of the players, find themselves, you know, who are disconnected from culture, and when they're finding their mob, it's so good for all of us, and that's what it should be, you know, just highlighting that and the fact of you know, finding out who they are, who their mob is, and so on, you know, especially with the history that we've got here, and you know, the Maldives are really strong, and I love that about you guys, and so that's something that we're building on with our First Nations people, and hopefully we can get to a point where we're exactly the same, where everyone can understand and educate people around it. Yeah,
I think NRL leads the way in Australian sports with bringing the Indigenous culture into the game.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, I just think AFL and everyone else just doesn't do it.
Yeah.
The same as what NRL do.
Yeah, I know there's a massive push, and I know there's each club, you know, have representatives in those clubs as well. As we know, like, there's a high percentage of our mob that play a great game, and most of the time they're, you know, superstars. JT, GI, and all the crew who are at the pinnacle of our great sport, and they voice that, and they want to bring, you know, all the crew through, and more so educate people around it too, which is very important.
Mm.
Yep. Yeah.
Do you stay involved at all, like, during that week, like Indigenous All-Star Week or anything like that?
No, not now. Like with my role, so I actually work in our community department at the Broncos. Yep. So I work with young Indigenous women. So our program's called Beyond the Broncos. So we actually go on the schools. It's not a footy program. It's about getting the importance of education and getting them to school. So our three main goals are school attendance, so I have to go to school 90% of the time, good behaviour and positive participation, so engaging in the schoolwork. So, and if they do that, they get rewarded each and every term with like exclusive rewards. So it could be a jumper, backpack and so forth. Yep. But each term we go out and deliver personal development workshops around goal setting, culture and identity, you know, it could be anything. You know, healthy relationships, what that looks like, you know, looking after one another and looking after yourself, more importantly, mental health. All that. So that's what I've been doing now for 8 or 9 years, and I got the head coaching role with the women's with the NRLW girls. So yeah, got a couple of Maori girls in there too, ripping and tearing. It's awesome. So good. So loving it. For me I love the fact that our women are so their thirst for knowledge is phenomenal. They just want to know how to play football and at the highest and get better. So it's a really joy to coach.
It's good to watch as well.
Yeah, I reckon. They love it.
Man, they smack each other as well. Yeah. Some of the hits that they put on.
I was going to bring Melee over to
she's a beast.
She's a beast. Yeah, she's one of the fan favorites. So all my family love her. They're like, oh, who's that number center? Number four center, Melee. I was like, oh, everyone loves Melee.
Yeah.
So right now we went back. We actually looked to extend her contract with us. So a bit of exclusive there. No one really knows that. But we went to Auckland to re-sign her. Met her family. Oh, lovely family. And so we just found out that she does training programs for people.
Yeah, right.
And she's not a very good trainer. So I'm thinking, so are you training with them or are you just telling them what to do? so Melee, like, she's lovely. But so hopefully she's training because she's just coming back from surgery. So she hurt her thumb. So she'll sort that out. And then, we go into training in end of May. So hopefully she's she doesn't come back like last year. And, so we don't have to waste 4 weeks of getting her fit.
Yeah. Kiwis, man, bad for that.
That's all good.
When it's off season,
it's off season.
Off season, they do nothing. You just got to do a little bit, just something.
It's like the Kiwi boys in the NRL, they go home and they come back on preseason. Oh, what happened to you, bro?
Boil ups, hungies.
Yeah, hungies.
Boil ups, fried bread.
Put on 5 kgs, you're only back home for a week.
What happened?
Look, that's pretty much everything. I know we're pretty strapped for time. We've got to get back to the park shortly. But do you boys got anything, Joe?
Just thanks, Scotty, for coming on, bro. I knew as soon as you come over last year, we had to navigate this, bro. So thank you for jumping on, brother.
No worries. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I love what you guys do anyway. So
awesome.
Any help to have a yarn, and it's all love anyway. It's all good.
Wish you all the best for the future. Maybe not the tawny. We need one back.
Charge down.
If you tell your wingers to hit, so Mitch is in the room. Just to help you.
I might get the opportunity to tell you to calm down. All right, guys. That's us for another week. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks again, Scotty.
Thank you.
We'll catch you next time.
Ka kite whanau.
Later.
Cheers.
What's our song, Pong?
Oh, there we go.
Oh, just a little banger that I've got.
Banger. Stop. Nah, all the free game banger.
Actually, I bought my...
Oh, here we go. This is good. That's how I haven't seen this jersey for ages.
We got your horse you shirt too, bro.
Yeah, oh, nice. We're going to get this down at the
food.
Have you still got your grand final jersey?
I've got it framed up. Yeah. So I've got a jersey framed with my footy boots in it. So
you got your boots. Clive in there too?
Yeah, it's at home. It's upstairs. Yeah, it's in my...
In the trophy cabinet.
Yeah. I said I only need two people to sign this, and that was yourself and Benji.
Nice.
You're the first one.
Right, so,
I'll bring it tomorrow.
Think of a good quote too, Scotty. We got a book, bro. We'll bring tomorrow.
Yeah.
Can you just write it into a
book? Oh, yeah, nice. Easy. Yeah, easy.
Beauty.
Great brother. Awesome, eh?
Appreciate it, bro.
All good.
Appreciate it.
All good.